I don't want to look like some kind of fool. I don't want to break my heart over you. I'm building a wall. Every day it's getting higher. This time I won't end up another victim of love. I'm going to lock up what I'm feeling inside. Ain't no way you can break down the door. Victim of Love Lyrics by the group Erasure. The Emotion Code, Chapter 7. The Walls Around Our Hearts. Trapped emotions can create a wall around your heart that can block you from living life to the fullest. I received this letter from a wonderful woman, a former patient of mine who had a heart wall once upon a time. Living the Fairy Tale. At the time Dr. Nelson cleared my heart wall, I was approximately 51 years old, and I had worked at the Walt Disney Company for 22 years. It was a busy, exciting career filled with travel all over the world and bright, creative people. I had a wonderful family and many close friendships. I had never been married. I wasn't against marriage, nor was I dying to get married. It wasn't an issue. My life was full. Later that year, two of my friends were planning a trip to China. They asked me to join them, but I said I was very busy at work. They kept up their encouragement. It was as if an invisible hand was at my back, pushing me in the direction of China. Thinking that if I ever did want to go to China, I may as well go, I went. Travel in China was somewhat restricted at the time, so we went with a group. There was a wonderful gentleman on the trip, an attorney who had been divorced for 7 years. He lived in Newport Beach, about 40 miles from my home up the California coast. We got to know each other in a very unassuming way during our tour of China. On the airplane trip home, we sat together, and he asked me out for the following weekend. We dated for a year. He popped the question on Thanksgiving Day, and we were married 6 months later. I was age 53. As I reflect back on the time after my heart wall cleared, I realize things weren't the same. I began to open myself to the idea of having someone in my life to have and to hold, and to care for as he would care for me. It happened on the feeling level. Finding someone to share my life with just felt like the next step. There was a new readiness that I hadn't felt before. It must have been the removal of that invisible wall that I had not even known was there that allowed me to let this wonderful man in. So for all of you who think women cannot marry after a certain age, get your heart wall cleared. Stay open to the possibilities life has to offer, and remember my story. We are now approaching our 5th anniversary, have just moved into our new home on the California coast overlooking the ocean and Catalina Island, and are living the fairy tale. Thank you, Dr. Nelson. Lynn R., California. The Heart Brain. Your heart generates 60 to 1,000 times more power and electromagnetic energy than your brain, easily making it the most powerful organ in your body. When you were in the womb, your heart was formed first, before your brain. Your heart beats about 100,000 times a day, 40 million times a year, and if its connection to your brain were severed, it would keep right on beating. Your heart is the core of your being, the core of who you really are. New research shows that your heart is much more than a mere pump. In the 1970s, scientists learned that the heart has an elaborate nervous system, a discovery that has led to the creation of a new branch of medicine known as neurocardiology. The fact is, we all have two brains. Much to these scientists' surprise, they discovered that the brains in our heads are obeying messages sent by the brains in our hearts. Your heart is constantly sending out information to your body. Every beat carries critical messages that affect your emotional and physical health. When you feel love towards someone, you are actually sending out a powerful electromagnetic signal to them using the heart-brain. Medical research experiments have repeatedly shown that there are measurable positive effects on the body when we feel love and appreciation towards someone else. The same beneficial effect occurs in your own body when you are on the receiving end, when love and appreciation are being broadcast toward you. Scientists have discovered that the electromagnetic signals radiating from your heart are actually detectable in the brain waves of another person. This phenomenon is strongest when two people are touching or are in close proximity, but is measurable at a distance as well. For several decades, medical science has had the remarkable ability to transplant organs from one person's body to another. But remember the story of the World War II veteran and his blood cells. If a person's individual cells keep their connection so strongly, no matter where they are, think what a connection an entire organ must retain. We've all heard stories about transplant recipients who suddenly take an interest in a certain sport, or who have an unexplained craving for their donor's favorite food. Heart transplant patients have reported these symptoms from the beginning, but doctors have had no way to understand it, so they attributed it to the patient's imaginations. Try telling that to the transplant patient who has never liked hot dogs or baseball, but who now can't get enough of them since he received the heart of an avid White Sox fan, or the woman who can't keep from crying every time she hears a song which meant nothing to her before her transplant. The heart has its own unique intelligence. It can think, feel, and remember. There is now considerable evidence that the heart contains memories and feelings. A large number of heart transplant recipients have reported new food and drink preferences and cravings, as well as handwriting changes, musical preferences, and memories that don't seem to be their own. The discovery of the heart wall. Have you ever felt that you needed to put up a wall to protect yourself in a negative situation? It appears that this common phrase has a basis in reality. We call this phenomenon the heart wall, and here is how we were led to discover it. In March of 1998, my wife Jean and I were in Portland, Oregon, attending a conference on magnetic healing where I was one of the guest speakers. Early one morning, she woke me to say she'd had a powerful dream. She felt strongly that her dream had a deep meaning and that it had something to do with her own health. In her dream, Jean saw a stainless steel order wheel, like those found in restaurants and diners. She explained that the wheel had three orders clipped to it. She understood intuitively that each order represented a different issue having to do with her health. Her subconscious mind knew the meaning of this dream, so I began muscle testing her, asking questions about the orders attached to the wheel. We quickly determined the meaning of the first two health issues. When I turned my attention to the third order on the wheel, something completely unexpected happened. Suddenly, I had a waking vision. I could see very clearly in my mind's eye a beautiful, highly polished hardwood floor. Along with this vision came the understanding that Jean's heart was under this floor. This made no logical sense, but the image of this gleaming floor and the perception that her heart was under it were very persistent and clear. I determined to figure out what it all meant if I could. I told Jean what I was seeing and asked her if she had any insight into what this meant. Well, last night I wasn't feeling all that well, and Lana told me that she sensed there was some kind of energy over my heart. I wonder if that is what she was picking up. My sister-in-law, Lana, is a Reiki master and a very gifted and intuitive healer. I really don't know what it means, she said. Fascinated, we began muscle testing to find out more about this hardwood floor. First, let's find out how thick this floor is, I said. Is it one plank thick? Her arm was strong. The answer was yes. Is it two planks thick? Yes. Is it three planks thick? Yes. Patiently, we went up by the numbers. 5 planks, 10 planks, 20, 50, 100, 200. Before long, I began asking about the thickness in feet. Is this floor 100 feet thick? Yes. Is it 500 feet thick? Yes. And on it went. 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, 3,000, 4,000. Is it 5,000 feet thick? Yes. Is this floor a mile thick? Yes. Is it 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles thick? Yes, yes, yes. Is this floor 5 miles thick? Yes. Is this floor 6 miles thick? No. This was quite strange, and we couldn't imagine what it meant. I was certain that it had some significant meaning, so I continued testing. It quickly became apparent that the hardwood floor I could see so clearly in my mind was exactly 5 miles thick. I had never had a waking vision like this before, yet the answers that we were getting were very clear. Three things were certain. I could see the floor vividly in my mind. I knew that in some symbolic way, my wife's heart was underneath this floor. The floor was very thick, 5 miles thick to be exact. What in the world could this possibly mean? I asked, "Is there a wall around your heart?" "Yes." "Is this wall 5 miles thick?" "Yes." "Is it made of wood?" "Yes." What exactly was this that we were in the process of discovering? Was it something of consequence? Quieting my mind for a moment led me to ask another question. Is this wall made up of trapped emotions? Her arm was strong. The answer was yes. Suddenly, the symbolic meaning became clear to me. I knew how vulnerable the human heart is to being hurt. I also knew Jean's past. Jean had been a sensitive and shy little girl. She had grown up in an imperfect, dysfunctional household like many of us do. While she has some wonderful memories and while she loved her parents and siblings and knew they loved her, she didn't feel safe emotionally. She could never predict what the emotional tone in her home might be from one moment to the next. Anger and harsh words frequently and suddenly erupted over things that should have been inconsequential. She and other family members would find themselves walking on eggshells at times like these. She never knew when she or someone else in the family might be lashed out at or blamed for something. Protecting the core of you. People deal with uncomfortable situations such as these in many ways. Some attack, some retreat, and some hide. But usually we feel the need to defend and shield ourselves from being hurt. Your heart is the core of your being. Your subconscious mind knows that it must protect your heart. It must protect your delicate core in any way it can. Words like heartache and heartbreak are so called because of the peculiar physical sensation that occurs in the heart under strong emotional strain. Nearly everyone has felt this sensation at one point or another. Trapped emotions have substance. They consist of energy, just like everything else. When trapped emotions are created, they must reside somewhere in your body, and sometimes they will lodge in and around your heart. Your subconscious mind, which knows no limitations, will sometimes use the energy of these trapped emotions to create a barrier or shield around your heart. Literally, it creates a wall of energy around your heart to protect it. At first, I puzzled over this process until I realized that the subconscious mind most likely follows certain rules. For example, it is not possible to create a wall out of nothing. In the world in which we live, all things around us are made of energy, and I believe the subconscious mind understands this concept implicitly. All walls that exist in the physical world around us, regardless of the chosen building material, are ultimately made of energy. The heart wall, created by the subconscious mind, is also made of energy. It just happens to be made of a specific sort of energy, the energy of trapped emotions. I believe that to the subconscious mind, the heart wall is as real as the chair you were sitting in. The heart wall exists, it's just on a slightly different plane of reality than the world we can see with our physical eyes. Does that make the heart wall any less real? I don't think so. Remember that we cannot see ultraviolet light or indeed the vast majority of the electromagnetic spectrum, yet no one disputes its reality. When I asked Jean's body if we could release the trapped emotions that were making up this wall around her heart, the answer was yes. Gradually, her body was willing to release these emotions. We found that the procedure for releasing emotions from the heart wall was the same as for releasing any other trapped emotion. The only difference was that we had to ask specifically if we could release an emotion from her heart wall in order to gain access to these emotions. Each time we released a trapped emotion from Jean's heart wall, I would ask if we could release another emotion. Sometimes her body would allow us to clear more than one emotion in a single session, but often the answer was no. It wasn't surprising that her body needed a certain amount of time to process each of her emotions as they were released, so we patiently waited between sessions. We found that we were able to release a different trapped emotion roughly every other day until they were all gone and Jean no longer had a heart wall. The creation of her heart wall. Jean had learned to protect her feelings from childhood. She retreated to safety inside of herself, shutting down her positive feelings and avoiding connection with those that she felt vulnerable toward. When there were volatile episodes in her home, she chose to feel fear, resentment, and other negative emotions, some of which she expressed, but many that she internalized. Some of these feelings were never fully processed, and they became trapped energies in her body. While she was consciously doing her best to deal with life, at the same time, her subconscious was building a wall, an ultimate protection against her heart being injured again. Her subconscious mind chose an imaginary wooden floor for her wall, specifically the hardwood that is walked upon. Do you see the symbolism there? The room she grew up in had a hardwood floor, as did much of her house back then, so it was a familiar sight. Her subconscious mind created her heart wall at an early age, but it wasn't completed for many years. Each new trapped emotion gave her wall additional thickness and strength until it was many thousands of feet thick. As we released the emotions from her heart wall, we found that the thickness of the wall decreased. We could never predict how much of a decrease in thickness might result with the release of a trapped emotion. Some trapped emotions would result in a large decrease in thickness, some in a little. When the last trapped emotion was released, something very interesting happened that helped Jean move beyond her past and the way that she perceived herself. Getting reconnected again. While Jean's heart wall protected her heart from damage and hurt, this protection came at a cost. Having a heart wall left her feeling numb and somewhat isolated. She felt disconnected from others. She wanted to have close friends, and she tried many times, but something was always in the way. She was well-liked, but she found it hard to be at ease with people. She had many associations, but few close friends. In social gatherings, even with people she had known for many years, she invariably felt that she was on the outside looking in, and she was never able to feel like she truly belonged. When the last emotion was finally released and her heart wall was gone, there was a profound shift. "For the first time in my life, I'm not on the outside anymore," she told me. "I've longed to feel this way my whole life. Now I know what it feels like to be part of a circle of friends, part of a group. It's a very different feeling than I've ever had before, and it feels wonderful and right." Since that day, these feelings have stayed with her and have helped her to grow in many ways. We've since discovered that releasing someone's heart wall is often followed by a profound experience of connection with other people. Much of our personal and spiritual growth comes out of our love for and our interaction with others. The more open our hearts are, the stronger will be our connection to one another. The more connected we are, the more we can give and receive love, and the stronger and richer our lives will become. I am so grateful for Jean and her dream that day. Without her, the heart wall might still be completely unknown. When we began to test other people for heart walls, we found that they are a very common problem. Our experience is that 8 out of 10 people have one. Chances are you do too. Joanne's bad marriage. One of the first people we tested for a heart wall was a woman named Joanne. She had been married for 22 years and had 5 children. Her husband was mentally and verbally abusive. He had created such a toxic experience in their home that the rest of the family wondered why she chose to stay in such a bad marriage year after year. Like most women in her position, Joanne had endured the marriage by creating a heart wall that helped insulate her tender heart from her husband's abusive, verbal, and emotional assaults. I suspected that Joanne had a heart wall, and her body responded yes when I asked if she did. Next, I wondered what her heart wall might be made of. Were all heart walls made of wood? I didn't know, but when I asked the question, her body said, "No." "Not wood. Well, how about some kind of metal?" The answer was yes, some kind of metal. "Is the metal iron?" I asked, trying to narrow it down. "No." "Is it steel?" I asked. "No." I tried titanium, aluminum, copper, and all the other kinds of metal I had ever heard of, but the answer was always no. So I approached from a different angle. "Is this metal harder than iron?" "Yes." "Is this metal harder than steel?" Again, "Yes." As I continued this line of questioning, it gradually became apparent that the metal was harder than all the metals I could name. Feeling a bit exasperated, I asked, "Is your heart wall made of metal that is harder than any metal that actually exists on Earth?" Her answer was definitive. "Yes." "Wait a minute. What? How could her heart wall be made of a metal that was harder than any metal that existed on Earth?" Something out of this world. I was so caught up in my concrete questions that I'd forgotten one very important fact. The heart wall is a creation of the subconscious mind, where literally anything is possible. This wall is not physically made of any materials except the energy of a certain number of trapped emotions. It may not be real to us, but I believe that to the subconscious mind, although it is imaginary, it is also as real as anything else that exists in the world. Its reality in the body is a very powerful one. That reality affects the systems of the body, just as our thoughts do. It has a direct influence on our health. But remember, the heart wall is an imaginary construct. It can be made of literally anything at all. 2 years after Joanne was married, the abuse began. Her highest value was to keep her marriage together, so she stayed put. Joanne had grown up in an idyllic and serene home where she was cherished. According to Joanne, she could not remember her parents ever fighting, and the number of times that angry words were spoken could be counted on the fingers of one hand. As the abuse increased in her marriage, her subconscious mind searched desperately for protection. Trapped emotions were being formed, so the raw materials were there to build a wall. But what kind of material would her subconscious mind consider to be tough enough to protect her heart from Nick's abuse? It is said that the subconscious mind does not distinguish between what we perceive to be either reality or non-reality. For example, if you see a movie that is very frightening, your subconscious mind doesn't know that you are not actually experiencing the celluloid reality of the movie. Sure enough, your heart will pound, your palms will sweat, and your biochemical reactions will be just the same. Adrenaline will course through your veins, and all the reactions that occur in a fight or flight situation will be the same as if your viewed reality is indeed reality itself. Essentially, the subconscious mind treats everything that comes into it from your conscious mind as reality, whether it is or not. Which brings us back to Joanne, who has a heart wall made of metal, but a certain kind of metal, stronger than any metal that exists on Earth. At some point long ago, Joanne had seen an alien spaceship on a science fiction show. The Army fired missiles at it. When the smoke cleared, it was still there. They shot cannons at it, to no effect. They even launched a nuclear warhead at this alien spacecraft, but when the smoke cleared, it was still there. The scientists were stunned. The spacecraft was made of an entirely unknown substance, a metal that did not exist on Earth, one that was apparently indestructible. Yes, her subconscious mind said, that's exactly what I need. And this alien make-believe metal from an old sci-fi movie became her heart wall construction material. So Joanne had a heart wall made of indestructible metal from an alien spacecraft. What better way to protect her heart? Remember, the heart wall is from the deep imagination, from the subconscious mind of the person who unconsciously creates it. Once we'd found out what it was made of at the metaphorical level, we began to release the trapped emotions that had been organized into this wall around Joanne's heart. Because she was still in this marriage with her abusive husband, we realized that her heart wall had probably been a very important factor in her remaining married to Nick. It had protected her heart all these years. Was removing the heart wall the right thing to do? Was it the right thing for Joanne at this point in her life? Her body had created the heart wall for a reason, but there is always a price that you pay when you have a heart wall, that price mainly being a diminished ability to feel. We decided that the only safe route would be to ask her subconscious mind if it was okay to begin releasing these trapped emotions that were making up her heart wall. Can we release a trapped emotion from your heart wall now? I asked. Her body said yes. It was okay to begin getting rid of these trapped emotions that were making up her heart wall. In fact, Joanne's body wanted them gone. So we began to clear them out, finding them one at a time through muscle testing. Each time we would release a trapped emotion, we would recheck the thickness of the heart wall, which we had initially found to be 7 feet thick. Is the heart wall still 7 feet thick? No, her body responded. Is it 6 feet thick? Yes. Again, with each trapped emotion we released, her heart wall became thinner. The distance by which the heart wall thickness diminished varied, depending on the emotion. Sometimes one released emotion would reduce the heart wall by an entire foot. Other times a released emotion would make less difference, resulting in a 6-inch change or less. In Joanne's case, there was no waiting period between releasing one emotion and the next. Her subconscious mind was ready to release them all in a row, just as fast as we could find them and let them go. Connecting the dots. As we identified each trapped emotion, I also asked when that specific trapped emotion had become trapped. Asking that question helped Joanne connect the trapped emotions to specific events in her life that had caused her so much pain. We found that she did not have a heart wall until the second year of her marriage, when things really started to become difficult. As we traced back the origins of the individual trapped emotions, it was easy to see why Joanne had needed a heart wall that was indestructible. One of her trapped emotions was from the time her husband had held a gun to his head and threatened to kill himself in front of her. Another trapped emotion was from the time that he fell into a fit of rage over her religious practices and literally burned her Bible in front of her. There were 9 different emotions that had become trapped in her body, each of them having to do with some extreme experience with her husband, Nick. Feeling again with her heart. It took about 30 minutes to release all 9 of these emotions and completely clear Joanne's heart wall. When her body indicated that the heart wall was gone, Joanne smiled quietly. "How are you feeling?" I asked her. "A little dazed," she said, "but good." Then she went back home to Nick. For 22 years, Joanne had an impenetrable wall around her heart. Now that the wall was gone, suddenly she was able to feel in her heart all the barbs, all the meanness, and all the venom that Nick heaped on her from the moment she walked in the door. For the first time in many years, she was really feeling what was going on in her relationship with Nick. Her heart wall had been shielding her from the full force of his cruelty. Now that she could experience it for what it really was, without the protective wall, she couldn't believe she'd stayed with him for so long. Who could tolerate this kind of abuse, and why should she put up with it anymore? Within 2 weeks, she had left Nick for good and filed for divorce. Like so many of our body's defenses, a heart wall can be an invaluable safety measure in the short term. When something overwhelming happens, an emergency action can save your life. If you're being bombed, it's a good idea to hide in a bunker, but you wouldn't want to live there. If you did, you'd miss out on the joys and wonders of life. The same is true with a heart wall. No matter how important it was to your life at the time it was created, you will be able to live a happier, more connected life as soon as you can tear it down. Sometimes it can make the difference between living a life of disappointment and living happily ever after. Miranda and the Old Boyfriend. Miranda is a perfect example of how a heart wall can interfere with your love life. She was an attractive 38-year-old nurse who came to me suffering from neck pain. During the course of the examination, she mentioned that she had not dated anyone in years and had no interest in having any kind of a relationship with men anymore. When I tested her, I was not surprised to find that she had a heart wall. 8 years before, Miranda's heart had been broken in a relationship with a man she had deeply loved. In an effort to protect her heart from experiencing that kind of pain and injury again, her subconscious mind had created a heart wall. In Miranda's case, three lingering emotions had been trapped in her body for all those years, blocking her from experiencing a loving relationship. She had no idea that these trapped emotions were the major underlying cause of the pain she was experiencing in her neck as well. Her neck pain had been going on for some time and was considered chronic and even a bit mysterious by the other doctors she had consulted, as nothing seemed to relieve it. One by one, we cleared each of these emotions. At the end, I asked her body if the heart wall had finally been released. Her body said that it was completely gone. I didn't see Miranda again for about 3 months. When I did, she looked incredibly happy. I asked her what had changed, and she excitedly said, "Everything." She reported that her neck pain was long gone, but there was even better news than that. "Right after I saw you last," she said, "I ran into my childhood sweetheart. I hadn't seen him since elementary school, but it turned out he'd been living right around the corner from me, less than a block away, for almost 8 years. We started dating and something really sparked between us. We're in love. I think he's going to ask me to marry him." The woman who had come into my office complaining of neck pain and swearing off men was gone for good. She was like a completely new person. "Thank you so much for helping me," Miranda said. "If you hadn't released my heart wall, I honestly don't think this would have happened. I was too closed off before." When trapped emotions and heart walls are released, people sometimes say it's like they can finally feel again. They can give and receive love freely for the first time in a long time. In that state, very interesting and wonderful things can happen. How we are meant to live. This is how we're meant to live. We're meant to live vibrant, healthy lives filled with love and joy. Of all the emotions, love is the most pure and has the highest vibration. Love, that most powerful and most popular of all the emotions, is both generated by the heart and received by the heart. When you have a heart wall, you are not able to give love as well as you might, because that love energy that is in your heart cannot get out as well. At the same time, love that is being radiated toward you by other people is blocked to some degree. As a result, you can go through your life somewhat insulated from others because of the emotional traumas you've been through and the subconscious wall that literally exists around your heart. The traumas were genuine enough, and there is no doubt that they caused more pain than your body thought it could stand to feel again. That's why the heart wall made perfect sense at the time. But until you take it down, you'll be trapped behind it to some degree, less able to reach out and connect with people, even the people you love most. People's lives and the lives of their children and their families have been completely transformed when their heart walls have been removed. About 30% of the time, the effects of releasing a heart wall are very apparent and immediately noticeable. But most of the time, the results are subtle, and the changes in a person's life appear gradually in ways that they themselves might not immediately recognize. Paula and her angry son. One day, a woman named Paula came to my office with her son, Rick, who was 17 at the time. She told me that Rick was having problems with anger. He was hanging around with the wrong crowd, and his grades were abysmal. She was afraid the next step might be drug use and was looking to me for help. She had heard of our work with trapped emotions and was wondering if some of her son's anger might be due to them. I tested this very silent and angry young man and found that he had a heart wall. When I tested his mother, I wasn't too surprised to find that she had a heart wall as well. It quickly became apparent that Rick wasn't the only one suffering from anger. His mother was also filled with anger and resentment toward her ex-husband, Rick's father. She had a rather grim expression, and her jaw seemed to be set in a determined, angry clench. It took 5 different sessions to clear Rick's heart wall, each session taking no more than 10 minutes or so. Sometimes we would release 2 emotions during a session, but most of the time just 1. His heart wall trapped emotions all revolved around his birth father and how he had felt abandoned by him over the last few years. His parents' divorce had been terribly difficult for him. He had trapped emotions of anger, frustration, resentment, and feelings of inferiority, among other negative emotions. As soon as we'd completed the process, Rick started to change. It was amusing to see that even his hairstyle changed. When I first met him, Rick had an orange mohawk. In his case, an expression of his defiance. Without the need to express anger and resentment anymore, he went back to more ordinary hair. Not only that, but his grades improved by several levels. He'd always been a smart boy, but he was blocking his emotions behind a heart wall, and the pressure had been building up for a long time. Before we released his heart wall, feelings of rage would well up inside of Rick when he thought of his father. After we cleared the heart wall, Rick could think about his father, even spend time with him, and be completely okay. Now that his simmering anger was a thing of the past, Rick felt happier and more motivated. When he let go of the heart wall, he got his life back. I will never forget the last time I saw Rick and how dramatically transformed he was. I remember him not being able to wipe the smile off his face as he told me about a recent fishing trip with his birth father and how much his relationship with him had changed. Curiously enough, when we cleared his mother's heart wall, she didn't seem to notice any change. About 2 months after we cleared her heart wall, Paula came back to the office and complained to me, saying, "What's going on? Rick is like a completely new person. I hardly recognize him, but I don't feel any different than I felt before." I explained that when a heart wall is removed, it often takes time for changes to be felt and for things to realign in your life. The body has to go through a healing process once a heart wall is removed, and that can take some time. It was hard to tell whether she accepted that explanation or not. I think she was disappointed that her own life hadn't changed as dramatically as Rick's. I didn't see either of them for a while, and wondered on occasion how they were doing. Then, about a year later, I ran into Paula in a very upscale department store in Orange County. She recognized me and waited to see if I would recognize her. She looked familiar, but I had no idea who she was. As we talked, it dawned on me who she was, but she looked so completely different that I scarcely recognized her. Her face radiated happiness. Her whole demeanor had changed. Since we had last seen each other, she had not only gotten a wonderful job at this store, but had also found a wonderful man, and they were happily married. As we talked, I found that Rick was continuing to do very well both in school and in life. I reminded her about her heart wall and our conversation of a year before. "I don't know if having my heart wall cleared had something to do with this or not," she grinned, "but my life is so much better now than it was a year ago, I can hardly believe it." As I walked away from that encounter, I remembered how deeply angry and unhappy she had been only a year before, and I couldn't help but wonder where she would be if we had not cleared her heart wall. Children and heart walls. It's a sad fact of life on this planet that children often have heart walls too. Think how tender and open a child's heart is when they are little. They're helpless and trusting, and far too often they are the victims of predatory or abusive adults, and sometimes even cruel children. In these cases, heart walls are always found. Sometimes life is challenging even in wonderful homes and under the best of circumstances. The following letter is from a delightful woman whose son was diagnosed as being clinically depressed. After developing a trapped emotion while witnessing the death of a close friend, a heart wall was formed to keep his poor little heart from entirely breaking. 9 years old and depressed. Dear Dr. Nelson, several weeks ago I brought my 9-year-old son to see you. He had been exhibiting unusual behavior. He was having difficulty eating, sleeping, and concentrating. He had become angry, negative, and pessimistic. School was a nightmare. We tried urging, punishing, rewarding, and bribing him to complete his school assignments. When they were finally completed, he would not turn them into the teacher. He is a very intelligent boy, yet his grades suffered because his assignments were not turned in. I set up an appointment with his pediatrician to be evaluated. We were then referred to a pediatric neurologist and then to a psychologist for further review. They concluded that my son was depressed. 2 years ago, my son witnessed the drowning of a very close friend, and 10 months later had to attend the funeral of his cousin. 4 other relatives were buried within the next 6 months, and I believe these events had a distressing effect on my son. I tried to help him cope with these events, but apparently they were still affecting him. When I brought him to see you, he was tested and you determined that he had a heart wall causing an emotional imbalance in his body. The mag creator was used to roll out each of the negative emotions associated with the heart wall. I do not understand all the scientific aspects of this type of treatment, yet I believed I had finally found the answer to the growing problems with my son. After you worked on him, he was a little lethargic for a couple of days, but the changes I noticed in his behavior in the weeks that followed were absolutely incredible. By the end of the first week, he was sleeping and eating normally, and was once again happy and enthusiastic. He now completes every homework assignment without any nudging on my part. Our home is much more pleasant. He is helpful, kind, and patient. I feel like my sweet little boy has returned. If skepticism had kept me away from this type of treatment, I would still be parenting a very sad and frustrated little boy with no solution in sight. Instead, I have found a treatment that has literally saved him. Thank you, Dr. Nelson, for all your help. Your knowledge and expertise in this field and your patience and concern have had a tremendous impact. My heartfelt gratitude to you for all that you have done to heal my son. Thank you. Name withheld. Little Jacob's heart wall. One of the most touching experiences I had with children is told by a young mother named Maisha. Her 3-year-old son, Jacob, had developed a heart wall shortly after his birth and the death of his twin brother. I treated him and released his heart wall in one visit, and later she wrote this testimonial for you to read. 3.5 years ago, I gave birth to twin sons. 9 days following birth, they contracted a virus which ultimately attacked their hearts, leaving them in critical condition for 2 months. Jordan, the eldest twin, passed away due to multiple complications, leaving Jacob, who then quickly recovered enough to come home, but with continual problems with his heart. Not only was Jacob left with heart failure, but with a heart wall made from deep, lasting emotions that were manifested in excessive anger, destructiveness, unhappiness, insecurity, and aggression. A day or two following treatment, my tender-hearted son was back. Friends would comment on how happy he appeared. He was helpful and kind, patient and pleasant. His behavior was polar opposite from when his heavy emotions were weighing him down. I know through continued treatments, my dear son will be emotionally healed and allowed to live the happy life that he is entitled to. Maisha E., Texas. As news of our discovery of the heart wall spread, other practitioners began to come to us for training, although the majority of attendees continued to be lay people. The following heart wall story was submitted by Gwen Legler, a counselor in Washington State. The hated heart wall. I have found that people usually choose a heart wall substance that has a positive memory or image for them. That is why I was so surprised with Pearl's negative reaction to her heart wall made of rhododendron bushes. She hated rhododendrons and couldn't believe her subconscious chose them. I double-checked, and it was correct. I found it interesting that her body would not let me identify her heart wall until the third visit, and then it would only let me remove a few emotions. It was definitely protecting her from something. I suggested we continue, and maybe we would understand why. By the 5th visit, we began to remove more emotions. Guilt, heartache, hatred, betrayal, grief, and so on. It soon became apparent that her heart wall was like a storage unit for one particular incident in her life. About 16 years ago, she had an extramarital affair for which she felt extreme guilt and self-loathing. Although she stopped and never had another affair and was forgiven by her husband, she couldn't seem to forgive herself and put it behind her. Now we realized her heart wall was a bush she hated because it contained an experience she hated. We cleared the heart wall and she found peace and was able to forgive herself. Gwen L. Washington. The Ring Dream. Pat and her husband, Jim, attended the first seminar that I taught, which was held in San Diego in 1996. I received this letter from them about their experience with a recurring nightmare that was being caused by a heart wall. I wanted to share my experiences with heart walls with you. Jimmy and I attended a seminar in San Diego with you where you explained heart walls, how to find them and break through them. My daughter died in 1987, and after a while I began having a recurring nightmare that we called the Ring Dream. Nancy had loved rings, so I always connected the dream with her. I would wake up hysterical and screaming, clutching my hands, looking for my rings. I could never remember what caused the panic or why it was so important to find my rings. After we attended your seminar, we decided to check me for a heart wall. Needless to say, we found one. We worked back through the years, clearing the layers of trapped emotions as we went. At 2 years of age, I had a trapped emotion of abandonment. As I had always been with my family, I did not quite believe what the testing was showing. I told my mother about the heart wall and the abandonment emotion. She told me that when I was two, she had left me with my grandmother and had gone to stay with my father in an army camp. My grandmother had said for her to go, that she would take care of me, that I was just a baby and wouldn't miss my mother. It was a story that I had never heard before, but it had left its impression on me when I was 2 years old. Jimmy and I worked together and cleared all the trapped emotions that were making up my heart wall. What a relief it was to us to discover that the dream stopped and did not return. While we both felt we learned a lot at your seminar, nothing compared to the joy we felt we received when that horrible dream stopped. I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. We have shared this story with other people we have met, but I'm glad to finally be able to tell you about it. Thank you so much for this wonderful program. Pat S., Louisiana. Finding and releasing the heart wall. Now let's talk about how you can actually determine if a person has a heart wall and how you can release it. To find a heart wall, you simply ask. Unless you actually ask the person's subconscious mind if they have a heart wall, it will not be revealed. The heart wall is made of trapped emotions, but the subconscious mind no longer categorizes them as such. These emotions are now part of a wall and are inaccessible until you ask if there is a heart wall. You have to get the mind body to admit that there is a wall before you can get to the trapped emotions that are creating it. Once you do that, the trapped emotions once again become recognizable to the subconscious mind as trapped emotions, and therefore are vulnerable to being released. As you release them one by one, the wall will come down. It's really simple. Ask, "Do you have a heart wall?" Then use the muscle test of your choice to get the body's response. My experience is that about 80% of the general public will test positive for a heart wall. Use of the word hidden. When you ask, "Do you have a heart wall?" and the answer is no, there might be another phenomenon at work. Quite often, the heart wall will actually be hidden and will not show up unless you actually use the word hidden in your question or statement. The whole purpose of the heart wall is to protect one's heart, or in other words, to hide the heart from those who might do it emotional harm. It seems that sometimes the heart wall gets a bit too hidden to readily detect, but if you expressly use the word hidden when you ask, it will show up. To check for this possibility, simply add the word hidden to your question or statement. For example, you could ask, "Do you have a hidden heart wall?" If they have one and it's hidden, it will be revealed. It's important to remember this tip. I can't tell you how often I've had to use the word hidden to find heart walls that otherwise would not have been detectable. A hidden heart wall is not a different kind of heart wall. It's simply a heart wall that is a bit more difficult to find. Once the body has opened up to you to let you know that a hidden heart wall is there, you can proceed without having to use the word hidden anymore because it's no longer hidden. Is it ready to be released? Once you have determined that a heart wall is present, ask, Can we release an emotion from the heart wall now? The heart wall is there for a reason, and while ultimately the effects of having a heart wall are negative to the health and well-being of the individual, some people are in situations where they simply are not ready or willing to give up the protection of the heart wall for now, and you need to respect that. If a heart wall is present but you get a negative response about removing it, your subject may want to meditate on why the subconscious mind is giving that answer. Is it unsafe, or are they already processing some other things that are taxing the mind-body? At any rate, it is important to listen to their subconscious. It knows what is best for them. If you get a yes answer to your question, you then simply follow the same process outlined in Chapter 6 and follow it. Once again, you can receive a free PDF file of the flowchart that is specifically for releasing heart walls by simply going to www.theemotioncode.com/flowcharts.htm. The emotion code works the same way to release trapped emotions, whether they are part of a heart wall or not. When you ask, "Can we release an emotion from the heart wall now?" and you get a positive answer, the mind-body has a particular emotion in mind that it is willing to release. You don't get to choose which emotion will be released first. The subconscious mind of the subject will do that. As soon as you receive a yes answer to this question, the trapped emotion has already been chosen. All you need to do now is determine which emotion it is on the chart in order to bring it to conscious awareness. Identify it, determine any other information that the subconscious wants the conscious mind to know about it, and then release it. Time to process may be needed. As I've explained previously, sometimes you will be able to release all the trapped emotions that are making up a heart wall one after another in one concentrated effort. At other times, the body will allow you to release a limited number of trapped emotions before needing to take time out to process what has been released, requiring from a few hours to a day or more before you can release another one. After verifying the release of a trapped emotion from the heart wall, you simply return to your original question and ask, "Can we release an emotion from the heart wall now?" If the answer is yes, and if you have the time, keep going. If the answer is no, you may want to check to see if perhaps the heart wall is gone by asking again if they have a heart wall. If they still have one, ask when you can release the next emotion, later today, in an hour, tomorrow, and so on. Determining the heart wall material. Remember that the subconscious mind is very logical. Since it is patently illogical to have a wall made of nothing, the subconscious mind will always choose a material for the heart wall to be made of. You don't really need to know what substance the subconscious mind chose to build the heart wall out of in order to release it. Ultimately, all heart walls are made of the energy of trapped emotions, and releasing these trapped emotions is what really matters. On the other hand, determining the material that has been chosen is interesting because of the symbolism that is often revealed. There is no right or wrong way to ask what material has been used, but I usually start by asking if the material is wood. If it isn't wood, I ask if it is a material harder or softer than wood. If it is harder than wood, I may ask if it is made from metal, etc. You can narrow it down pretty quickly using the process of deduction, and you'll get some great practice using muscle testing. If you have determined what material the heart wall is made of, you might then want to ask how thick the heart wall is. They can range in thickness from paper thin to many miles. All I can tell you is that this is what we have found in testing. Our subconscious minds are not limited like our conscious minds are, and can have quite an imagination. Yet I believe that the subconscious mind takes it all quite seriously, and really does believe that there is a wall there made of whatever material has been chosen. Heart wall metaphors. An older couple came to see me. The husband was very grouchy and was dismissive and gruff with his wife. She seemed to be a very gentle soul. They both had heart walls. His was made of solid steel, cold and hard, miles thick. Hers was many thousands of layers of curtain material, providing a nice cushion against his toxic personality. A gay man had a heart wall made of solid diamond, which is the hardest known naturally occurring material. Incidentally, his subconscious would not allow me to release this wall. I've seen heart walls made of flowers, quilts, blankets, earth, stones, vegetation, leather, glass, all kinds of metals such as steel, titanium, and iron, as well as various construction materials such as logs, concrete blocks, and so on. Quite often, there will be a noticeable relevance between the personality of an individual and their heart wall material. I treated a young child once who had a heart wall made of yellow plastic, just like her little yellow plastic toys. Sometimes heart walls will have a door or a window. Often the door will be locked, and nobody has the key but the owner. While often a heart wall is spherical, they can be box-shaped or any other shape you can imagine. Sometimes they have sharp edges or projections on their surface to keep people out. One young man couldn't seem to form close attachments with women, although he was very handsome, had everything else going for him, and had many opportunities. I found that his heart wall was made of a one-way mirror, which allowed him to see out, but no one else to see in. I once treated a child whose most common expression was, "I can't." I found and released his heart wall. It was made from a single sheet of paper. On it were written the words, "I can't." His parents commented that after his heart wall was released, he no longer felt that he couldn't do things and was happier and more positive. He also stopped whining and saying, "I can't." Anne Horn's story. A woman named Anne Horn wrote from Seattle to tell me of a remarkable near-death experience she had had, in which she saw people in the future helping others remove their heart walls. Here, in her own words, is her story, recorded live at a seminar in Denver, Colorado.
My name's Anne Horn. I'm from Seattle, and I'm 47 years old. And I contacted Brad after I had been rolled out by Marguerite Blouvelt, who instigated a big change in my life. And one of them is balancing my brain, and therefore the result that I no longer have dyslexia. And that was a very powerful thing for me. And right at the end of the session, she turned around and just as an afterthought said to me, "Oh, by the way, let's see if she has any heart walls." And I looked at her and I said, "What is a heart wall? I don't understand." And she says, "Well, that's okay. You don't have to know. We'll test you for it." So she did, and I didn't have one. And she said, "Let's check you for a hidden heart wall." And I said, "All right. What is it?" She says, "That's okay. You don't have to understand." So she checked me for a hidden heart wall, and I don't have one of those either. And I said, "Okay, now will you tell me what a heart wall is?" And so she was explaining how emotions can put up a wall between yourself and others around your heart. And it was at that time that something very, very magnificent happened. So I'm going to tell you how I got to that point. When I was 23, I died. And it was a violent death. And I left my body. I had one of those near-death experiences that now we have 10 million other people having had experienced. And I left my body. And it was very important. I had a life review. I hadn't done anything particularly exciting or big. I was a young thing, a young whippersnapper. And I was going back home. Now, on my way over there, there was a light, a tunnel. And this was back when I was 23. I mean, nobody knew anything about this stuff. I didn't know anything about this stuff. And I was met by a man who said, "It's not your time." Now, I didn't have any memory of where I'd been. I was just going. I felt like I was being pulled by my heart towards this wonderful place. And I was encompassed in all that is at that moment, all this innate intelligence. It was fantastic. And tremendous love. And I just wanted to go home. And this man who was standing in front of me, we were on ground, we were just kind of floating, he says, "But it's not your time." And I went, "But I want to go." And he was conferring with someone else. And I could see him thinking, but I didn't know what they were saying. And he turned around to me and he said, "But it's not your time." And with that, he'd gotten permission to show me something about my life. And with that, I realized that I was no longer at Earth. Because we looked down, and there was the Earth. We were way out somewhere in space. And there was Earth, and we were looking at the Americas. And the specific place that we were looking was on the West Coast. Now, I'm from Virginia, and this happened in North Carolina. And I was 23. I never even left the state. I was just young. And we were looking out at the northwest area, Colorado, Texas, and down through California. And there were many people, a large group of them. And they were doing something pretty interesting. There were groups of 20, 30, 15, 1, 2. And they were doing a specific training. And they were doing something very unusual. They were like a pair of them, sometimes a pair, sometimes one. And a person would be laying on a table. Sometimes they would be standing up. And we would be doing this over top of them. Like that. And it was like a numbers game. We had to get as many as possible. We were processing as many people, and we were in a rush. We were really hurrying. We were very, very, very vital. And we were dressed in white. I didn't figure this piece out, but we were dressed in white. And I said to him, "Are we nurses?" And he goes, "No, you're not nurses." I said, "Well, what are we doing?" He says, "You're opening people's hearts, not physically. We're removing all the blocks from their hearts so that they can love and receive love from where I was at that moment." Okay? And in that moment, when I was looking down, every one of those people, when they were doing this work, okay, stretching across, not like this, but like this, going across their backs, every one of them simultaneously became aware of each other. It wasn't something they planned. It wasn't a harmonic convergence or anything else. We didn't plan. It happened. And we became conscious of each other. And at that moment, the meaning of that came through to me when I was 23. That they, where I was at that moment, would send energy here. And it looked like a white bolt of energy. And it came in through our open hearts in the back and out through our hearts into the world. And we were there opening people's hearts so that they could be anchors for this divine energy to come into this world. And this world completely transformed within 3 seconds. And this light went into every crack and crevice, everywhere. And there was no darkness in this world ever again. Now, when I came back here, I pretty much thought that I had a mission from God. And I thought, oh, my life's going to be so great. Oh, my life has been a living hell. So I have tried to have all kinds of trainings. I've been looking for this, thinking, well, when? What? And it was when I was around 40. Okay? In the meantime, I have done a lot of study. I've worked at the Edgar Cayce Foundation for Research and Enlightenment. I've studied quantum physics for 25 years. I've taken courses in physics of the mind. I'm a neuro-linguistic programming trainer, which means I know everything about how the brain encodes information and takes it back out. I'm certified in hypnosis. I'm a graduate of the HeartMath Institute, which has established that the heart itself is a living brain and generates, now this is proven fact, this isn't theory anymore, they've done all the work on it, and it's published in the AMA, that the heart itself has a electromagnetic field around it that's like a donut that inverts on itself. And it's 40 to 60 times greater than the brain. And it is through the heart that you get new answers, and it holds no past record. And when we're in it and tune it up, our body is influenced to the point where rods in your eyes do change, and you can see colors at depths you have never seen. You can see energy forces you have never seen. You cannot activate these rods in your eyes by using your brain. Your immune system will shoot up for 3 days. Your DNA will tighten. And things, when Brad talks about the resonance things changing, the electromagnetic force goes out, being much like our energy force here. It goes out because of the motion. It propels out. But being a magnetic, it pulls it back in. So everything that goes out comes back in that resonance. And that's why thought is form, and this is thought too. But this pulls from something you've never had before. And everybody's experienced it. I went into counseling because I'm always transforming things. I'm trained in chemical dependency, timeline therapy, core transformation therapy. I took a BA in Islamic art and culture. God only knows where that piece fits in. And I've gotten halfway through my master's in marriage and family counseling. I have a minor in art. And I was hurt on the job and pulled this ligament in the back. And a friend of mine, I put on 60 pounds, 50 to 60 pounds in 3 months. I call this my romantic prednisone body. And because I was hurt and couldn't move, it was only then I was open to hearing about Nican. Because I had heard about Nican 2 years earlier. Okay? I did hear about Nican, I bought a sleep system, and I'm now back to 100% function with no impairment. But what's really interesting is when I went to Anaheim, to the Team Diamond event, I was sitting there, and they had the diamond up there, and everybody was there, and I was going, gee, this looks really familiar. And all of a sudden, they put a diamond there, and then they transformed it into a heart. And they started talking about the heart. And I realized I was with all the people I had seen in my near-death experience. And I went, oh my God. These are the people. Wait a minute, hold it. These are the people that I saw 25 years ago. These are them. But how do we open our hearts? I mean, rolling people out is nice, and it's nice to get well, and I've got some miracle stories with that, but people have done it, and that's great. But where's the peace? Where the open your heart? And then I met Marguerite Levesque. And she only mentioned it as an aside at the end. She said, and now we're going to open the heart. And it was like electric bolt went through me, and I went, what? And she says, and she explained it to me. And I got up with Brad. And when Brad talks up here about that part in the heart piece, he's also part of that near-death experience. I recognize it. It's the same words. And this man creator wasn't invented then. So, if anybody asked me if I found my Nican vision, I did about 25 years ago. I was just waiting for you guys to catch up with me. But it's a miraculous thing. And when somebody says, is this important? Please understand that this is very important. And just open as many as you can. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the theory of the 101 monkeys. Have y'all heard that one? Where it's reaching critical mass. And that if you... They had an island of monkeys. And they taught one monkey to wash his sweet potatoes. And after 100 of them learned, they all know how to do it. Well, that's pretty neat. But what they found is, as soon as that tribe of monkeys became saturated, the adjoining islands, all the same monkeys on the other islands, began to wash all their sweet potatoes too. Because it's like Brad was talking about, quantum physics, the information travels like that. So if the hearts are open, we can reach critical mass. And I asked them in my near-death experience, but there are only thousands of us. And they said, millions will be called, but only thousands will remember. And we only need thousands. Isn't that a neat story? And that's why I'm here. And I hope y'all take this very seriously. And go out and just love them. Thanks. Thank you.
Counting the cost. The price we pay for having heart walls is incalculable. How many people have led disconnected and lonely lives due to the walls around their hearts? How many people have not experienced the joy of finding love in their lives how many wives and children have been abused. Heart walls can lead to depression, divorce, and abuse. The patterns of abuse that are created can pass from generation to generation, causing all manner of pain and destructive behavior. The result of heart walls on a larger scale leads to misunderstanding, prejudice, hatred, and brutality. On a global scale, heart walls lead to ethnic cleansing, nation against nation, terrorism, and war. There is altogether too much of isolation and violence, too much of sorrow and pain in this world. When I walk down the street, I see so many people with tight, clenched jaws like Paula had, or boys with angry, resentful expressions, acting out their pain and frustration any way they can. The news is filled every night with one story after another about people whose hearts must be barricaded behind strong walls for them to do the things they do. Widespread depression is another common side effect of heart walls and trapped emotions. In the United States alone, it is estimated that between 13 and 14 million people suffer from depression. It is the leading cause of disability in American women. Nearly 15% of those women will ultimately commit suicide. Among children and young adults between 10 and 24 years old, suicide is the third leading cause of death. By releasing trapped emotions and removing heart walls, we have seen cases of severe depression eliminated once and for all. We have seen marriages saved, abuse stopped, and lives turned around. We have seen beautiful, loving relationships begin. We've seen kids make better choices. We've seen peace restored. I am so grateful to be able to share what I have learned about trapped emotions and heart walls, and to be able to bring this information to light. There is no doubt in my mind that it comes from above, and is meant to bless many lives in these times that are so trying in so many ways. I feel so blessed to have been led to discover a method that has such a powerfully transformative effect on people's lives. It's an exciting thing to be a part of. If you have a heart wall, can you see how important it is for you to clear that wall away? Can you see the importance of helping your own children and your own family? Can you see how transformational it would be if we could do the same thing for the whole world? Imagine how this world will change when we can open enough hearts to create a critical mass. As in Anne's near-death experience, that critical mass, perhaps only thousands of us, will be enough to help transform this planet forever. Those whose hearts are open will be the anchors for that divine energy that will transform and heal the world. Imagine. I wish I had the power to reach more people with the message of this book. If you'd like to share what you are reading with someone else, a close friend, for example, you can have this chapter emailed to them. Just go to www.theemotioncode.com/freechapter.htm. In addition, if you'd like to download a fully printable copy of the Emotion Code Chart and the Flowchart for Releasing Heartwall Emotions, simply go to www.theemotioncode.com/flowcharts.htm.